30 20 5 4 3 2 1
Ignition sequence start.
This is just the beginning.
Are you ready?
Here comes the best part.
1 2 3
Go. Life Matters, a five-time winner of the best morning show in Wisconsin, hosted by Nancy Douglas and Tom Giovannone.
All of you, get ready.
Life Matters begins on Lake 96.1.
Good morning. Welcome to Life Matters. I am hosting the show on my own this week. Tom Giovannone has gone off into the wild blue yonder of Arizona for some reason. So he is out of town today. So I am running solo, but that's okay because I have two great guests today. Coco Cooper from the Treehouse will be on later. But right now I have Dr. John Erickson from Mercy Care with me. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
So you are, you're an orthopedic doctor. So surgeon, everything, you do everything orthopedic, correct?
Correct. That is correct.
How'd you get, why? What made you want to be in that field?
Yeah, orthopedics is a great field.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for a lot of people that end up in it, it starts even like as a young kid, you're around sports, you're
right.
Around athletics quite a bit. And that's turns into a lot of patients I take care of are, you know, people that are active.
Right.
Kids that play
that
sports
makes sense.
All the way up to, you know, adults that are just trying to get back to daily activities.
So you are here in Lake Geneva or at Mercy Health at 50 and 67?
Yeah, Mercy Health, Walworth.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And 67.
So that's where you're at. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Wisconsin born and raised.
Nice.
I grew up in north central Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls
oh, yeah.
is the area.
Mm-hmm.
Rural family. My dad owns and still operates a dairy farm.
Oh, there. Perfect.
Yeah. So, it's a small operation,
yeah.
family run. It's how I grew up. I was working on the farm, taking care of animals, and you know, it's good to be back in Wisconsin.
I bet.
Yeah.
My husband and I grew up in Indianapolis and moved here about, it's been like 25 years now, and I will never live in a big city again. Ever. We're getting ready to move full time to Elkhorn, and I love it. Like that's as big as I want to get because it's all concrete. There's no green. There's no, you know what I mean.
And sometimes you have to go away before you appreciate how much
absolutely
how good you had it, and
absolutely.
Then it makes you want to come back.
And the history in Wisconsin, I was never interested. Like I didn't care about history until I moved here, and there's so many stories and so many, like you're right. And family history, like the farmers and the dairy farmers and stuff. So that's a great place to start life. That's for sure. So, what would your patients kind of be surprised? Do you think it's growing up on a dairy farm?
Would they
be surprised to learn that about you, or what do you think they'd be surprised about?
That'd be one thing.
Yeah,
for sure. I think another thing would be I've kind of fallen into the, you know, I guess, epidemic of pickleball, I guess you could say. I do treat a handful of patients that have, you know, sustained their fair share of injuries from the new sport
right.
that a lot of people are picking up.
Are you good at it?
It's just so fun. Yeah, decent. I mean,
okay.
my wife and I play, and you know, we're getting better.
Good.
And
okay.
it's something that we enjoy. It's such a such a great sport for all ages, and you know, and all skill levels.
It sounds like it. I have never played. I'm not a big athletic person. I generally just walk. That's my athlete.
Everyone
drive.
Everyone stays active in different ways.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Like I said, we have this house in Elkhorn now, and our biggest physical exertion right now is remodeling or, you know, sanding, painting, tearing things out, whatever. So it's not that we're not physical, but I don't really do anything that I can think of on purpose that would cause me to have to see you. So what would you say is it, like you said, more sports, athletes? I know I talked to you off the air about my father-in-law had both of his knees replaced at like, he was like 78 years old
yeah.
and had both of his knees replaced at once. He was up walking that same day. I mean, there's so many changes in your field.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that and what do you like to do?
Yeah, so I would say to your first point, it's a whole spectrum, right? It's the acute injuries from whatever, from a fall, from a sport, from a slip on ice, all the way to chronic conditions, chronic causes of typically joint pain.
Ah, okay.
Speaking to your second point about the advances in kind of how we do things, and you talked about your father with the knee replacements. Mm-hmm. Years ago, people would stay in the hospital multiple nights.
Right.
Even when they're first starting doing joint replacements, a whole week even.
Yeah.
Now we're getting most people out the next day. So you're having surgery, stay over one night, and then going home, you know, getting up and walking the same day.
Right.
Working with therapy, working with the nursing staff, and going then sleeping in your own bed the next day. Even more recently, we've started implementing sending people home the same day.
Really?
After a joint replacement. Wow. I do shoulder replacements, hip replacement, and knee replacements.
Okay.
And kind of we're getting better at it. We're getting better at pain control. We're getting better at mobilizing people afterwards. We're getting better at being minimally invasive, so people have less pain afterwards. And
I think that is the key. I think that people don't realize they think knee replacement and they think, oh my gosh, you're going to go in there and just tear everything up, and you know it's going to be stitches everywhere, and you know I'm not going to be able to walk. I'm going to have casts. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. And it's just not like that anymore. And I know there's arthroscopy. Is that how you say it?
Yep.
Is that one of the keys to being less invasive in this process?
Yeah. So depending on the type of condition that each person has, you know, some may be a candidate for arthroscopic procedures, which is not a joint replacement. That's typically more of a cleanup procedure or a repair type procedure. In years that has continued to advance, we can do more and more with our arthroscopic, procedures, just small poke hole incisions, insert the tools and the camera so we can visualize the entirety of the joint through minimally invasive incisions.
It's just not, like you said, it's just not the same anymore. And you end up having an injury for a while. You just start to get used to it. You compensate for it. You don't necessarily go get it looked at because maybe you're fearful that that's, long recovery. I can't afford to be off work. I can't do this. I can't do that.
Yeah.
When you don't have to be that. It doesn't have to be that way. Like I said, my father-in-law, he was 78 years old, both knees at the same time, was out of the hospital the next day, walking the same day. They had him up and walking. It just doesn't, you don't have to suffer. There's so many advances. And because I think that people just, like you said, years ago, you're laying, damn near in traction, right? And, you can't, you weren't allowed to do anything. You weren't allowed to put weight on it, do this, do that. And that's completely the opposite now. It's just completely the opposite.
Yeah. And I think a good point to point out is most people that I see, in clinic, you meet everybody in clinic before you meet them in the hospital setting.
Right.
Majority of the people that I see don't end up needing or requiring surgery.
Right.
There's so much other stuff that we can do. First off, is just getting the correct diagnosis. Just gathering. I like to gather information. Just figure out what's going on.
First.
That's what's really cool about our job is kind of get to be a detective first.
Right.
You'd have a conversation with someone, ask the directed questions, kind of whittle away at it and get to the correct diagnosis. Often get imaging, x-rays, potentially MRI or CT scan. And it's all gathering information to kind of figure out what's going on. And then really set you down the correct treatment path going forward.
What are some of the other treatments? And what are some things you're excited about?
Those are great questions. Some of the treatments can be as simple as targeted injections. Whether that would be corticosteroids,
sure,
or anti-inflammatories, different. In addition to surgery, Our physical therapists have gotten, they continue to get better. They continue to do research, mm-hmm. accumulate new knowledge, new ways to treat conditions and chronic pain. Referral to therapists, it's not only just strengthening range of motion. They do a lot of ultrasound guided treatments where they're you're doing like massage and what we call phonotophoresis, iontophoresis, where different patches sending different stimulating the muscles or stimulating the nerves in different ways to diminish pain and get people feeling better. So there's so many options, and it really depends on what condition you have.
But you know, I have said before, people know I am a huge fan of Mercy. Everybody that I have ever dealt with over there has been nice and thorough, and like I said, you can tell that they want to be there. Okay, yeah. And one of those things that goes along that same thought process is they ask questions, like a lot of questions, because they don't assume that they know right off the bat just from a couple of comments that you've made what's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's called being thorough and responsible to your patients for how their outcome is going to look. And that's, but now since you've said that, you know, the investigation part of it, that I personally have experienced that every single time I've been there. Now mine was kidney related every time, and you know, but it's the same thing. I mean, I think it's just that's how you should treat patients.
Yeah. And I make it a point to sit down and have a face-to-face conversation. It's easy to get caught up in the computer when you're sitting in a doctor's office, but patients don't like that. You know, I want to sit down. I want to have a face-to-face conversation with you and really figure out what's going on.
Well,
and
you never know what somebody's going to say that you're like, oh, mystery solved. This is as simple as this, right? Because they don't know. You have to ask them the questions, and just the standard questions, that's not going to tell you everything. And you can tell by looks on their faces and things like that, body language. Oh, yeah, you know, or remind them of something that they've forgotten. I mean, you're right. You can't go without that, without that face to face. And frankly, as a patient, they trust you more if they feel like you're paying close attention. And
absolutely.
And that's very, very that's a very important part of a good outcome as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. So let's say I have a hip problem.
Yeah.
How would you do the hip arthroscopy? What happens there?
Yeah. So hip arthroscopy is similar to arthroscopy of other joints.
Okay.
It's a new service that now I provide at Mercy Walworth.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been provided in the past. Typically, the most common need for hip arthroscopy is a labral tear, or what we call hip impingement.
Okay.
Labrum is essentially like an O-ring or a seal around the socket.
You know,
the hip
sense.
Is a ball in a socket joint.
Right.
And sometimes people have kind of an oval ball and socket joint where it doesn't perfectly line up. It's like kind of putting a square peg in a round hole a little bit.
Okay.
That can cause damage over time, and
right.
it can lead to labral tears. So hip arthroscopy is addressing those specific issues. Repairing the labrum, repairing that suction seal in the hip.
Right.
And recontouring the bone so that it's more of a round ball in a round
right.
socket.
Less wear and tear.
Less wear and tear.
Right.
Yeah.
And is that one that, again, you get up that day, you try to walk around, because part of it is not, you don't want to be stiff, because then it's even harder.
Right. Yeah. So our arthroscopic procedures are all outpatient. So people go home the same day. And
that's awesome.
I like to get people going in physical therapy the very next day.
Mm-hmm.
So get people moving, get people active again, having a dedicated regimen to kind of get you on the right course of recovery is just as important as doing a good job in surgery.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Well, and rebuilding that muscle to protect what you've just had done. I mean, that's the key to not having to come back.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just, you know. But so we only have a couple minutes left. For those of us who have found lately that we are making more noise when we get up out of a chair after sitting for a while, because we're not really that old, but maybe we're starting to feel that old, right? Like, I make new noises now when I get up out of a chair, and or you get stiff, or, you know, in the morning, you know, it's just you got to get up and start moving around, and it's a little bit worse every day of or every year that you get older. What can make a big difference in that joint health? What can you do on your own to make a big difference, to maybe not make those funny noises anymore?
Well,
I'm asking for a friend.
Can't promise about the noises, but in orthopedics, we typically like to say a joint in motion tends to stay in motion.
Okay.
And so that, I think, just reemphasizes the point that our joints want to move. They want to be active. You should work on your flexibility. You should work on stretching. You should work on your strengthening to help stabilize the muscles around the joint and to help make them more limber. As soon as people stop using those joints and stop, you know, exercising and in those ways, that's when stiffness starts to take in, and then it tends to get worse over time.
Right.
So yeah, that's a bit, just stay active, stay. Sometimes people have to modify how they do activities.
Sure.
But I wouldn't tell people to stop.
Yeah. Never stop.
Yeah.
Never stop moving. The moment you stop moving, everything goes. I mean, God, because honestly, you think about it, God didn't, nothing in your body is dormant ever, right? Except for maybe shingles or chicken pox or something crazy, right? But not anything that's supposed to move or strengthen you, like your muscles. And so you got to keep it moving. But if we do still, you know, maybe need some help or have a sports injury that we just can't overcome, you know, any of those types of things that would just require you to take a look and a listen, because obviously that's extremely important. How do people reach out to you? How do we get in touch with you?
Yeah, so the most common way would be a referral through your primary care provider, typically. Some people can call our clinic directly, and, you know, if and not everyone even needs a referral.
That's what I was going to say. Do you have to have one? Because, I mean, if you know that you've got this injury, you might as well just come straight to the...
Yeah, and we help facilitate all of that. All it takes is a phone call on, on your part.
Yep. Sure. So call Mercy over at 50 and 67, Mercy Walworth. Or just, you could just Google, because this is what I did. Just Google Dr. John Erickson at Mercy, and you pop right up. Did you know that?
Perfect. Perfect.
It's really very easy. So, you know, again, Mercy's always ahead of the game, I feel like, on new technology and things like that. And it's good to see that. I mean, you clearly really, really like what you do.
Yes.
And it's good to see that they are hiring the right people to take care of all of us. And we appreciate it very, very much.
Well, you're very welcome. And thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, of course. Of course. We'll be right back.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters. Oh, one of my favorite people is here, Coco Cooper. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me on this lovely day.
Yes, lovely, lovely. This is a, well, Coco is the executive director for the Treehouse Family and Child Center. Did I get that right?
Child and Family Center.
Child and Family Center.
It's fine. It's fine. It's a lot of words, and they were all there, and that's good.
All of the treehouse stuff. Let's talk about that. So this is an update, because we haven't seen you for, I don't know, just a couple months.
Yeah.
So it's not been that long, but just in that short amount of time, a lot of things happen.
And we have a lot coming up, because we're just a couple of days from the start of Child Abuse Prevention and Family Strengthening Month.
Right.
Which is wonderful.
And the only way to prevent it is to learn about it, learn how to prevent it. Learn where you can go for resources, and that's what you guys do throughout the entire month of April. So talk to us a little bit about what surrounds that message.
Yeah. So Treehouse is a, as you know, nonprofit focused on child abuse prevention, education, and awareness for Walworth County and surrounding communities. And April will be focused on essentially what you said, just getting the word out. Are we in schools? Are we out in communities giving presentations? Yes, we are doing all of those things.
So do you think that you get more, like, do you, I don't want to say tips, but do you think that more people, like, at schools notice this, or do you find that neighbors will call? Like, how do you find out that this is going on in a household?
Well, I would say, depending on the type of child maltreatment allegation, there's four different types of child maltreatment.
Okay.
As you know, there's physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, and neglect.
Okay.
Not just Walworth County, pretty much everywhere, neglect is the number one allegation
sure.
type, if only because it's one of the easiest to see. And to that end, usually it's someone who has eyes on a child most frequently. To that end, you will typically find it to be an educator. You know, a neighbor might see a child coming and going, but they don't have that
right.
every day, 8 hours.
Right.
Easier for an educator to see. A child may not be dressed appropriately. A child may not be
bathing.
Seem super
right.
well rested, etc.
Right.
So our educators are very much on the front lines mm-hmm. of child maltreatment. And I will say in Walworth County, our educators go above and beyond to want the best and do the best for children and families.
I know I heard a story from a friend that there was a teacher, the child coming, like, had two outfits, like two things of clothes. And so the teacher bought some things to keep at school.
Correct.
To make sure that everything, you know, everything was helpful and not thrown away at home, or because you don't know the situation at home.
No.
And how do you, you know, and on the other side of that, like, thank God for teachers, because they're also the ones that are helping to teach the children compassion.
Correct.
For another student that might be in a situation, or how to recognize that one of your friends, and, you know, this can be taught. Compassion can be taught very, very, very young.
And
that usually leads to the instinct to make sure an adult knows that your friend is in trouble. I mean, it's just as simple as that.
Correct. And that's one of the, you know, that letting someone know is mm-hmm. one of the big messages we take into schools, not just in April, but throughout the year. There's a wonderful evidence-based curriculum we use from Monique Burr Foundation down in Florida. It's called mm-hmm. Child Safety Matters, and they have five safety rules every child should know to keep themselves safe.
Okay.
And it's, you know what's up. Does the child know their basic contact information, where they live, their parents' name, phone number, et cetera? Spot red flags. You know, what is that instinct telling mm-hmm. you? Does something not feel right? Is this a dangerous situation?
Trust your gut.
Trust your gut, mm-hmm. exactly. Talk it up. If you see something, say something.
Right.
You know, we all know this in different words. Make a move if there's a dangerous situation. Don't stay in the dangerous situation. Get away from it and stay away from it. And my absolute favorite of those rules to tie into the compassion point is no blame, no shame.
Right.
If a child is being hurt, no matter who, what, when, where, why, it is not that child's fault.
Never.
And to that end, part of the education then also has to come into an adult of, if a child comes to you and says something, I'm seeing something, I'm feeling scared. Adults need to understand how to respond appropriately and what they can do to help that child.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all very important messages.
Kids rarely make those kind of things up.
Very, very rarely.
And if they're making something like that up to get attention, then
there's still
you're
an
still
issue that
looking
needs
at
to be,
something. Right.
Now,
they're the
to be
issue.
Addressed.
Right.
Correct.
So no matter what, if this is brought up to you by a young person, it needs to be looked into.
Absolutely.
Whether you just talk to them, get to the bottom of it, send them to a professional, you know, call the treehouse and say, hey.
Yes.
Does this, you know, but the parents have to feel the same way about trusting your gut.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, if you know that your kid would never come home and say something like that, or even if the child just doesn't even realize what they said, like, you know, I really liked, you know, Michelle's dress today, but she's worn it like three times this week. Okay, well, you know.
That's.
They don't realize there's a problem, but you can clearly, by listening, maybe help another child out of a terrible situation.
Absolutely.
So,
we'd actually gotten some funding to bring laundry assistance into schools.
Ooh.
And it was actually a wonderfully heartwarming project to get to work on, you know, roll of quarters, the the laundry soap, the the laundry basket, et cetera. And we'd sent an email out to schools saying we have X number, you know, sign up if you would like us to bring these into schools, because we wanted it to be something where the family can go to the school. They don't have to feel like they're reaching out.
Right.
You know, that can be a point of embarrassment.
Yeah.
This is no joke. Sent out the email, walked away from our computers for a little bit to go into a meeting, came back, and all laundry baskets were spoken for. And some schools were very, very cognizant of, well, I actually need 50, but I understand you only have X amount, so we're going to take this amount. And so we actually then sent a follow-up survey to schools saying, just out of curiosity, how many of you have personally assisted a family with any of these? And all the responses we got back from educators were, they're all personally going above and beyond to help. I mean, give them all awards. Give them all the things, all of them.
You know, a little bit later in the show, I'm going to talk about the, my opinion about the Department of Education and how some things that, you know, and how different the needs at schools are, right? And how more than likely a department like the Department of Health and Human Services are far better to manage maybe special needs things, like you said, health and, you know, laundry, things like that. Those departments are going to be better managers for some of the needs from the school system than a Department of Education. You know, that's like jack of all trades, master of none.
Yes.
Well, these other departments are masters of these trades. And so, you know, we can make it all happen with. So I'm going to talk about that kind of at the end of the show. Like, everybody's kind of panicking about the Department of Education, but the Department of Education has not done a lot. And there's a lot of other needs that they can't do that they're going to be dispersed and handled so much better. And some of those, like school lunches and breakfasts and things like that, and getting all of the nasty stuff out of, because that's part of it. Right? The kids are neglected. They've got food, but it's not fresh food, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. It's frozen. It's processed. They're not healthy. They're tired at school. I mean, you can't really pinpoint that as neglect. But if parents had more options that were affordable.
Correct. And that's the other fun little, you know, once you start getting into the weeds of like the different definitions of child maltreatment, well, neglect is for reasons other than poverty.
Right.
So it's technically not neglect if, you know, your child isn't getting the healthy foods that they need because you can't afford them.
Right.
In our mind and hopefully in anyone's mind, that's a gray area that doesn't matter to the child who's going hungry.
Right.
We still need to help that child.
Right.
And
the family.
Help the family.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Excellent.
So I think that, you know, again, if we're patient, some of these things are actually going to come out better because they're going to be managed by a department that knows more about that. And there's got to be a trickle down effect, right?
Well, and I think
for
you
some
see
of
that
it.
In any, you know, in any community, when there's a gap in something, it's how Treehouse came to be.
Right.
You know, back in the late 80s, there was that case of child maltreatment. People weren't happy with the way it was handled. People came together and said, okay, let's fix this. Mm-hmm. Let's address this. Now Treehouse exists and we're here. And this is our area of focus.
Right.
This is what hopefully we have done and what we are pledging to continue to do a good job on.
Well, you absolutely have done a great job.
And when there's other gaps in community, you do then get people to come together and say, okay, we need to fix this. But then once you get the experts in place that know how to do it, let them do it.
Right.
We can still all work together and help.
Right.
But absolutely.
Yeah.
I
mean, you just have to.
Lot is expected of educators.
A lot.
And they are superheroes.
Right.
They're superheroes. They're capable of all of it. But that doesn't mean they should have to do all of it.
Right. Right. We're talking with Coco Cooper, the executive director of the Treehouse. I mean, so where will you be in April? Are there events that people can attend?
Yes.
Tell us about what hands-on things that people can do to learn in April from
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. So two community events. One, I would just say fact check me on this because I'm waiting to see the official flyer. But I believe Whitewater is going to be holding their third or fourth annual now International Children's Day. And I think that's on the, what is that, the second Saturday, third full Saturday in April, like the 12th.
Okay.
And that's a super fun event. So just kind of keep an eye out for International Children's Day in Whitewater in April. Tons of good food, different nonprofits out with different activities for kiddos. Lots of great ways to learn about the different resources for kids and families in the community. And then Geneva Lakes Family YMCA does their Healthy Kids Day,
yes,
which is the last Saturday in April.
Okay.
And we'll be working with them on that. I'm pretty sure we're going to do some pinwheel for prevention project.
Aww.
That day. And actually Treehouse is kind of running with that wonderful idea they had. And we're also reaching out to libraries and schools with a pinwheel prevention project. We'll bring in blank pinwheels. Kiddos can color it and, you know, take them home, etc. So it's...
I want a pinwheel.
I'll bring you one. And you can color.
Oh, good.
Thank
crafts.
You.
Crafts. Crafts on life.
Crafts. You gotta love it.
We are crafty here, aren't we?
Crafty. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. But, and then obviously we go into schools and we do the Child Safety Matters curriculum, and
sure,
we give presentations to different service organizations, just raising awareness about child maltreatment in the community. And again, that important role of being a safe adult and what, mm-hmm, that means.
Well, that's a good point. The safe adult. It's not just police officers,
oh, no,
right? It's not
no,
just
no,
first
no,
responders.
No.
It's not just
no.
teachers. It's, you know, the neighbors. It's
absolutely
it's anybody that your kid can feel they can go to if they're scared or abused or hurt or hungry or whatever. And it's about communicating with the neighborhood too.
It is. And it's also like, be honest with yourself. If a child came to you right now and said, you know, I think something's wrong, maybe in the household of this friend of mine, what your immediate reaction is going to be, I don't know what to do. I mean, most likely that's how most people are going to feel. And so this is just an opportunity during this month to kind of think, okay, well, what would I do in this situation?
Right, and be
what
more confident.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And to know, how do you just listen to the child and just hear?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we can just listen and we don't have to rush in to help right away. We don't have to fix everything right away. We have
right.
to understand what's happening.
Well, like I said, when the kid comes home and says, oh, you know, they have a really nice dress. They've worn it 3 times. It must be their favorite. And you're like,
Yeah.
That kind of listening, too, that
yes.
they don't even realize they're telling you something.
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
It all makes a difference.
It does.
And again, how many times have we said on the show, see something, say something, because if you know damn well something is going on in this house and you don't do anything about it, if something tragic happens, you have to deal with that for the rest of your life, as well as the victims in the household.
Absolutely.
So I would feel bad if I said something and there was nothing, you know, not a problem, but I don't know how I'd live with myself if I just glossed
right.
over something and something tragic happened. I don't care who, if you say, oh no, you know, I can compartmentalize my feelings and that's none of my business and or whatever. I don't care what you
no.
say. Subconsciously, you will be miserable for the rest of your life. And there's no sense in not learning how to recognize things, because you give this information away for free.
Well, that, and it's to that point of there are experts there. If you see something and you're just not sure what to do with it, you don't have to sit on the information.
No.
There is, you can call your local law enforcement, and this is, you know, what we call dual reporting. If you're not sure what to do and you suspect something is maybe not right with the child or family, call CPS,
mm-hmm,
and call the local law enforcement. Now you've done exactly
right.
what needs to be done. Now there are experts with eyes on it who will take a look. Maybe they'll screen it in. Maybe they'll screen it out. Even if it gets screened out, it's still something that's documented.
Mm-hmm.
And then if something else happens down the road, et cetera.
Or if somebody else calls
exactly.
because they feel the same way you
exactly.
do. Right.
Exactly. The
right.
power of multiple voice. You cannot underestimate the power of your voice, because we tell our children, don't underestimate the power of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
As adults, we can't underestimate the power.
You know, you see all those videos about what would you do, you know,
yeah.
and where the child is sitting on the park bench and the woman is on her phone or whatever, and she doesn't know the child, but then some guy comes up and tries to take the child, and then they, you know, they say, well, do you know this guy? And the kid says no, and, you know,
yeah.
that should be your gut instinct.
Yes.
Right. Like, I don't care if you say you're the uncle. I'm going to need somebody to verify that. Otherwise, this child is staying with me.
Yeah.
Who do you think the cops are going to believe? You. Because you're trying to protect the child and not take the child. Right? You're not going to get in trouble.
No.
Nobody's going to get in trouble for trying to protect a child. And you know what? Around here, we have like the best law enforcement, the most understanding and compassion.
Awesome. Yep.
Right. And so they know. And they know that we're all, every woman in this county just about is a mom.
Yes.
And even if you don't have kids, you still have the mom instincts and we all watch out for each other. And so there's just no reason not to make a move if you if you think that there's something going on.
Safety rule number three, Nancy, you know it.
Make a move. Look at me all learning.
Amazing. You are a safe adult. You know the safety rules.
I don't know about that. Well, I'm not a safe adult because if I worked for you, I would take all the children home with me and spoil them. And the police have said I'm not allowed to do that.
No, they frown on that.
Yes, that is in fact not safe. I don't know why. I'm just going to take them to Culver's for ice cream every day for all three meals because I feel terrible for them.
I don't know why I'm having like Willy Wonka type fantasies here of you. I think there's like fairy tales and warning against what you're describing here.
I just wouldn't be able to. It's like me if I worked at the animal shelter. Can you imagine my house if I worked at the animal shelter? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All dogs all day. I wouldn't be able to work because I'd have to feed. That'd be all I do.
Yeah.
So you have a wish list. What common needs now?
Yes, actually.
And actually, there's different needs throughout the year.
There are different
school's
needs throughout
getting ready
the year.
To end,
Yeah. It was fun. Our program director, Kayla, knew I was coming here today. And so she said, ooh, I have some things I need to share. So we are actually very light right now on household support items. You know, again, kind of that neglect piece that we were discussing.
Right.
Hygiene products. Again, keeping in mind that we primarily focus on children, but certainly we'll take hygiene products for all ages.
Right.
Gift cards. We are very, very, because we're just coming off the holidays, and so during that time we give out a lot of our gift cards for transportation support, food assistance. We are very light on that right now.
Okay.
And then what we also focus on is that positive childhood experience of giving different items to kiddos in need.
Tangible.
Tangible. Mm-hmm. You know, something to help with anxiety. You know, are they having a birthday? We can provide birthday support to the family, et cetera. To that end, activities for like ages 10 and up, crafts.
Yeah.
Children that age, we're finding love craft activities.
Paint by numbers.
Paint by numbers.
Crocheting.
The little diamond kits where you like,
oh, yeah. You know, the ones with all the million pieces, right?
Yes, yeah.
Bracelets, making bracelets.
Making bracelets, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
All of those are items that are in high need right now. We actually just reorganized our storage area, and when we were looking at our shelves, we're like, ooh, we are very light in these areas.
And these are simple. Like, some of these things you can get at the dollar store because
absolutely.
We're also talking about kids who, you know, if they, like, let's say they're at your place for an appointment or something. Maybe they're just doing it there and they don't take it home or whatever. So we're not talking about going out and finding a 700-piece art kit and an easel and all that
stuff. No.
It's just something, but it is so important to take something home.
It is.
That you can touch, that you can look at and feel a positive vibe because you got it at the treehouse where you know that it's a safe place. There's safe people and there's a connection when you have something, like I said, tangible like that. And it can be as simple as that, as a crochet kit.
It is. And I mean, to be honest, we in some instances, some of these children don't even know it comes from us because it's, again, it's the parents reaching out. Mm-hmm. We're struggling right now. Our child's birthday is coming up. Is there anything that can be done?
Yeah.
And you know, again, they have to talk to us a little bit. We want to learn a little more about the situation.
Uh-huh, right.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
See, that's awesome. Big event coming up. We've got a few minutes left.
Event.
I wanted
to
talk about this last so they would definitely remember the last words that
final
we talked
words.
About. the evening at the Derby.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
So Saturday, May 3rd, as everyone knows, Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. This will be our third year with the event. And we do actually have live Derby viewing. Begins at 4 o'clock. A wonderful local band, the Doghouse Roses, will mm-hmm. be performing. We've got Friendly Wagers, live auction. It's at Grand Geneva. Absolutely delicious buffet dinner. Will be open bar this year. This is a new little addition that we're adding. I'm hearing rumors of a champagne wall. We'll say they're unconfirmed rumors right now. We are so grateful to all our sponsors, but in particular, our title sponsor for the second year, the Fat Tire Charity Ride of Lake Geneva. They always choose Treehouse as their gold benefactor of the funds they raise. So we love to give a shout out right back to them for their event. And it just feels like a nice synergy, riding horses, riding bikes.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, exactly. But it is. Tickets are now on sale. And you can go to the Treehouse website, scroll down to our events, and information is there. You can give us a call if you aren't able to find the information. But it's such a fun night, and just from 4 to 8 o'clock. So, if you're not a night owl, you can still come and have a great time.
All us old people.
Exactly.
8 o'clock. Won't get home until 8:15. Yeah. And the theme is Derby at Tiffany's.
Derby at Tiffany's, yes.
So there's prizes awarded. You're going to have best hats,
I take it. We'll have best hat, okay. Best outfit
best
again.
Dress, yeah. Right, right.
And one thing I almost forgot to mention. So at the Derby every year, we acknowledge the recipients of the Treehouse Memorial Scholarship. And we just got word from two of our very generous sponsors, Kathy and Stan Johnson, who mm-hmm. provide us with the funding to award these scholarships to graduating high school seniors who are committed to making a difference in the lives of students. So we started out just giving one scholarship out.
Okay.
They contacted me this year and said, we want to increase funding to make it two. And then they just contacted me again and said, we're going to make it three. So we're giving out three scholarships this year.
Wow, that's awesome.
It is. And the
thanks to Kathy and Stan.
Yes. The review of all that is underway from our scholarship review committee right now. So those names will be announced at Derby.
That's cool.
It is.
That is cool.
And I will say, however people feel about the state of the world, sit down and talk to a child of any age right now, because reading through these applications, I don't get to have a vote, but I still get to read them. And mm-hmm. it's my absolute favorite time of year, because these students know what's going on and they're going to get it right.
Right. That's awesome. Love it. So Saturday, May 3rd, an evening at the Derby. Just go. Yes. You can find it. Even if you Google Treehouse evening at the Derby,
you'll
it comes
it.
Right up. Like,
you'll
this is not
it.
Tough.
Or just give us a call. We'll point you in the right direction.
Right. And you can get a table or just individual tickets.
Individual tickets.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
It's
and
a great night.
The early bird pricing's until April 13th after that price increases a little bit. So
get your table.
Buy early.
Yeah, that's for sure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And I have to tell you, you know, we would be there.
You're going to be with us in spirit.
We absolutely are. We absolutely will be.
You're going to have to text me and tell me if you won.
I know. That is always the first Saturday in May is always our Broadcaster Association statewide awards up in Madison. And this year, if we win Station of the Year, I should say when, so I don't jinx us, but it will be our 10th one. It'll be our 10th time. So the whole crew is going as usual. And so, unfortunately, nobody's staying back to go to this, but you're going to have to text me too and tell me how great it's going, because I hate that we're missing it. I honestly do.
We've got a wonderful committee. They're doing some great work on the auction prizes, and it's going to be such a fun night.
It's going to be great. Oh, and we'll send something for the auction.
Oh,
so don't let
you.
Me forget about that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Closer to the time, because we'll have more of our summertime tickets and things like that.
Perfect.
That we get, Summerfest and stuff. So we'll put a package together for that. So just buy your tickets to go bid on our package.
Exactly.
Seriously.
And then we can all be together and we can cheer for what's happening in Madison as our own WLKG wins for the 10th year in a row.
Well, it won't be in a row.
Well, I'm sorry, 10th year.
Yeah, but it will be the 10th time. And I think we're the only ones that will have won, if we win it, that has won it 10 times so far. So
that's amazing.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
But anyway, an evening at the Derby, Saturday, May 3rd for the Treehouse. It's at Grand Geneva. Just Google it, find it, get your tickets today before the price goes up. But even if the price goes up, it's all for a great cause.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And if anybody wants to learn more about Child Abuse Prevention Month, Family Strengthening Month, wants to have Treehouse come and speak, just reach out and contact us.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Mike Mason joins us for Just Stop.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Stop it.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop right there.
Stop! Stop it!
Just stop. Just stop talking.
Welcome back to Life Matters. It's time for the Just Stop portion of the show. Mike Mason joins me. What are you doing here on a Sunday? Oh, coffee.
a just stop would be anytime somebody takes a sip of coffee and they go,
oh,
I hate that.
Oh, okay. Well,
carry on.
Okay. What if they drink soda and they do that? You just want that to stop too?
No, it's only coffee. People do that.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really annoying.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good to
just
know.
Just drink your coffee. Don't make a production out of it. Just drink it and move on with your day.
Okay. Wow, I should have you on this. I should have you on this segment every week.
I have a lot of just stop. Yeah,
except I feel like we would get in trouble. So
probably.
Yeah, so we shouldn't do that. But I am glad you're here today because I have a beef.
First time you've ever said that.
That is not true. I'm glad you show up every day. I have a beef with the testimony from the CEO of NPR. Hmm. In D.C. last week.
All right.
Now, I watched part of this testimony, and while anybody with eyes or ears or, let's say, a half a dozen brain cells can see and hear and read that they are completely biased mm-hmm. in 99.9% of their reporting or programming or whatever you want to call it. This woman said something that should offend every small market radio station staffer in the United States, possibly on the planet. And that is that you cannot defund NPR in any way because they are the ones that are getting local. They're the ones that are out in the local communities. They're the ones that bring the local information to the people. So
it's me looking around trying to find
an NPR person.
Yeah, listen, that's not true.
Who was that Luke Braden's fundraiser for his cancer?
Right, right.
Who will MC and has been MCing the Lake Geneva JC's Easter egg hunt with all those little kids? Who goes to the YMCA auction to help fund programming and scholarships for kids and families to be members, to be healthier? Who does fundraisers and helps with the local Walworth County Food Bank, now known as The Bridge? Who is there making sure that public safety weather announcements are timely, accurate, and helping save lives? That is not NPR. That is stations like this one, like the one in Whitewater, like the local small market radio stations that have live staffers and not recorded from elsewhere in the country, that are at the community events supporting the community, that get involved with local politics and local issues to make sure that the community is communicated with so they can help them make good decisions about things that they're voting for or supporting or raising money for. Or, you know, I mean, so I am 100% offended by a lot of statements in both of their testimonies. But that testimony in particular just blew me away. For you to think that you are the ones that are sitting here in these chairs,
right.
Again, live, right. Local, and right. Helping and supporting the communities that we serve.
Right.
You, that is so far from the truth. And let me tell you something. All of us local radio stations like this one and, you know, elsewhere in Wisconsin in the United States, we get zero government dollars. Zero. For going out and doing our job and supporting the community and communicating the way we are supposed to be doing. So.
And they get money just to go and trash conservatives and the right. And
right. Right. And to not necessarily, I mean, I've read stuff in there that's so far out of touch with reality and seen interviews and, you know.
Well, she also said trees were racist and then she denied saying that.
That's true. So I just, what? There, what? That struck me. It's is sticking with me. I have a who do you think you are attitude toward both of those women. You are in no way, shape, or form deserving of taxpayer funding, period. I'm going to say it. I know I have colleagues at NPR. I'm just saying. The rest of us have to go out and work for advertising dollars and prove who we are.
Sure.
And I don't care if your funding, the amount of funding that you get is only 1% from the government. I don't care. You shouldn't be getting a penny from the government, period, because you are not what you think you are. And to, again, disparage all of the hardworking people like you and the rest of my staff, and again, the staffs of my colleagues that are also in small market stations from Sparta, Wisconsin, our highest competitor at the WBA Awards, to, you know, again, SLD and Whitewater, all of us small stations who are there at your events every week, every month, every summer, every winter. That was such a disparaging remark to all of those hardworking people who are immersed in their communities. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I had to take the time on this show to say it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, it's insane. Right. It was just so offensive. Yeah. No. Sorry. Sorry. You don't need government money to do what you do. You should become a private entity, a private business, just like the rest of us, and earn your advertising dollars. And that's it. Because that's what the rest of us have to do while serving our mission to the community.
Well said.
Anyway, sorry. Had to go off on a tangent there. But, and the other thing that I wanted to say, congratulations to Chicago for once again, the 13th year in the row.
Oh, yeah.
Being the highest murder capital in the United States, and ignoring the furious citizens that live in your city and their needs. They need more police. Oh. The police need more support. You need to be spending money on the citizens and not on immigration. You need to be spending money on the people that need you and not allowing them to be murdered. Moms to grieve their children, their husbands, their brothers. This is ridiculous. 13 years in a row, highest murder capital in the year. Do you not see something wrong with that?
Yeah, I'm pretty far removed. Obviously, that's my home state. And
right.
I was born in Chicago, and I'll always have a love for Illinois and rep Chicago. But the government there, out of control, and it's just why they keep getting voted in, I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know.
You can't walk really down the street in some neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You know, I saw an interview.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I saw an interview with a mom the other day, and she's like, we have no idea why my 14-year-old son was shot. None.
Right.
We have no answers. He was going to school, standing on a school bus stop. I mean, why? Why is that? Why are you letting it happen? Because they are letting it happen.
Well, it's gone from Lightfoot to Johnson, and I think it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
You thought Lightfoot was bad.
I know.
I didn't think you could get any worse than that. And here we are. Every time that guy talks or gives some type of statement or whatever, I'm just like, how did you get voted into office? I don't get it.
I don't either.
It's like the local Jasmine Crockett.
Right.
How do these people keep getting voted into office? I don't know.
I don't
know. And she's in Texas.
yeah,
very red.
I know.
State. I mean, Illinois, I can see it's very blue.
Right.
But I just, I don't know. I don't have an answer for it. The people that vote him in, they're not getting anything from. In fact, their lives are probably getting worse.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I mean.
I really don't know.
You
should be able to live in that beautiful city and not live in fear.
Correct.
And they are at this point, again, they're starting to fight back, though. They're pretty furious with what's going on.
I've seen some of those town halls where people are just are fed up.
Right.
But will things actually change?
I hope so.
I don't know.
I hope
so. When is he up for re-election? Do you know?
I have no idea, but I hope it's soon because, and I hope that they find somebody that they can agree on to get in there and help them solve the problems. Like, they should not hold this record for this long.
When I was growing up, I remember, like, Mayor Daley.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, yes, he was Democratic, but he was also, you know, he was very popular.
Yeah.
Kind of on both sides of the aisle. And those days are long gone.
Right.
Long gone.
Right. Again, you
how
go
far
back
has
to...
Chicago fallen? Far.
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 And it's sad. It's really sad to see.
It is, because you're right. You've got your extremists on each side.
Right.
But then you've got those of us who are just hoping for peace and calm and common sense. And we're not getting that. Yeah. And they aren't getting that down there. And it's really sad that they took that record again.
You get what you vote for, right?
They got to figure it out. Yeah. Do yourselves a favor.
If they have not learned the lesson by now,
are
they going to learn it? I don't know. Maybe something super extreme has to happen. I hate to say it, but I don't know what.
What more extreme can you get?
I don't know.
Over 600 murders in a year.
Yeah.
That's more. That's two a day.
Right.
Basically.
Well, the weekends there are awful.
Bloodbaths.
And you don't see them doing anything about it.
No.
You know.
No.
And not letting cops do their job.
Well, I was going to say, can you imagine being an officer in Chicago and just how stressful.
I have a friend whose husband is a Chicago cop.
Uh-huh.
And very fearful of him every time he leaves.
Sure.
For him, I should say. Right. Every time he leaves the house. You know?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so just stop. Just stop. NPR, just stop. You're not in the local communities. That's not what you're doing. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks for joining me. I know you enjoyed that. That's Life Matters. Oh, God. That's Life Matters for this week. Coming up, more music right here on Lake 96.1. We'll see you next week.